Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Tzadi Hey. We are holding on daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis, about five lines before the end of the page at Amar Rav Huna Eser Masaos. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisha Benumel Zechusur for Shlema, for Chaim Naftali Ben Frimit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Bas Chayo. They should both have Rufo Shlema Besoch Shar Chole Israel. So yesterday we discussed entirely the story of Sancheiriv, and we're going to discuss a little bit more about that. We're going to darshan the Psukim about the day that Sancheiriv attacked Yerushalayim. Then the Gemara is going to discuss at length what David's punishment was for what happened to the city of Nov, which is a chiddush in its own right, that David had to be punished for what happened to the city of Nov. One would think that it would be Shaul only who was punished, or Doeg who was punished, but David also was punished for what happened to the city of Nov, and how Avishai managed to save David in a miraculous way. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, we're going to learn about three different people who had Kfitzas HaDerech. One of them was Avishai when he was saving David. That's how it comes up. We're going to discuss a little bit about Yaakov Avinu, because he was one of the other ones who had Kfitzas HaDerech. And then the Gemara is going to go back to the story of Sancheiriv, and it's going to tell us the sheer numbers of soldiers in Sancheiriv's army and how they were killed. And there are going to be six possibilities of how the Malach went about killing the soldiers in Sancheiriv's army. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to have four different shitos of how many of Sancheiriv's people survived the attack of the Malach and went on to live after that. And then going into tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to discuss what happened to Sancheiriv afterwards. After he had gotten all these people killed and he didn't have an army left, what happened to him afterwards, and how he dealt with having to face the parents of all those soldiers who were now killed because of his own negligence in the way he attacked Yerushalayim. So let's begin about five lines from the end of the page, six lines from the end of the page, on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rav Huna Eser Masaos. So the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Huna Eser Masaos Nasa Oso Rasha Ba Oso Hayom, that on that day that he attacked Yerushalayim, Sancheiriv traveled to 10 different places. Shenemar Ba El Al Ayas Avar B'migron Nemichmash Yafkir Kelav Avru B'mabra Gava Malon Lanu Charda Harama Giva Shol Nasa Tzali Kolech Paskal Makshivi Laisha Aniyah Nasos Nada Midmane Yoshe Agav Meizu. So the Gemara understands that all of these are names of places. So it turns out that Ayas, Migron, Michmash, Mabra, Gava, Rama, Givashol, Baskal, and Laisha, Anosos, Madmana, and Gavim are all the places that he went to on that day. So if that sounded like a list of more than 10, it was, says the Gemara, Hani, Tuva Havya. That was 12 we just listed in those four psukim. We know were five psukim. We just listed 12 places that Sancheiriv traveled that day. So the Gemara explains, no, the pasuk of Tzali Kolich Basgalim is actually not part of the travels of Sancheiriv. Rather, that was Yishayahu Navi Udekarmelei L'Knes Yisrael. That was Yishayahu a Navi speaking to the Jewish people. Tzali Kolich Basgalim. Basgalim is a reference to Knes Yisrael. Bito Shel Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Shasu Mitzvos Kigalei Ayam, the offspring of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who did mitzvos like the giant waves of the sea. Hakshiv Elisha, he's telling them, Mehailo Tistafi, don't worry about Sancheiriv. You don't have to worry about the guy who's making all the noise right now. Tzali Kolech means that you should rejoice. You should raise your voices in song and be happy about this. Ela Istafi, but if you want to be afraid, you should be afraid. Netzar Russia. There's going to be someone that you have every right to fear. It's not Sancheiriv, it's Nebuchadnezzar Russia, the Motil Ka'aryeh, who is the mashal is Nebuchadnezzar is like a lion. So that's why Hakshiva Laisha. Laisha is an Aryeh, Laish is a lion. Shnemar Ola Aryeh Misubcho, whereby Nebuchadnezzar, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, describes him as a lion getting up. So Tzali Kolech, the Pasuk of Tzali Kolech is out of the list of Masa'o. So when we're giving the list of Masa'o, so Sancheiriv traveled that day, that pasuk doesn't count. How many were listed in that pasuk? Three different places, or what we thought were three different places, were listed in that pasuk. So says the Gemara, how do we explain the rest of the pasuk? ania anosos that osid yirmiyu ben chilkiyu misnavei Allah me anosos. So yirmiyu ben chilkiyu is going to be misnavei about Nebuchadnezzar. Ania means that he's going to respond. Anias devarim that yirmiyu is going to say from the city of anosos. Tichsev, how do I know it's from the city of anosos? You don't have to get very far and say for yirmiyu the very first pasuk. Divrei yirmiyu ben chilkiyu min akonim asher ba'anosos ba'aretz binyamin. So that the ania anosos is a reference to Yirmiyahu's nevuah, which is going to be from the city of Anasos. Says the Gemara, wait, we said Akshivi Laisha refers to Nebuchadnezzar because a Laish is a lion. Midami, Hasam, Ari. By Nebuchadnezzar, the Pasuk calls him an Ari, it calls him a lion. Ola Ariye Misobcha, the Pasuk says. Hacha, Laish. Over here, it doesn't refer to it as an Ari, it refers to someone as a Laish. How do you know that's Nebuchadnezzar? It's a Laish sounds like something different than an Ari. Am Rabbi Yochanan Shisha Shemes Yesh La'ari. So Rabbi Yochanan says it happens to be that an Ari has six different names, but it all means a lion. Eluhain, Ari, Kfir, Levi, Laish, Shachal, Shachat. They're all different names for a lion. So Laish could be a lion, just like Ari could be a lion. So we find all these different names. And Sefer Iyov, five of the names are mentioned in the fourth parak of Iyov, but we have all these different names throughout Tanakh, all referring to a lion. The post can point out, Nafkamina, the Marsha points out, actually, Nafkamina La'alacha, someone is sells something to somebody else, and he says, I'm selling you a lion, he can give him a lion. If he says, I'm selling you a shachal, he can give him a lion. So it's important to know what the names are, as far as the Nafkamina for Mekach u'Memker. So it says, but wait a second, how did this whole conversation start? We said that there were 10 different places that Sancheriv traveled to that day, then we listed Pesukim that mentioned 12 places. So we said, no, one of those Pesukim is not about places at all. But the Pasuk that we just excluded had three places. So now, Iyachi Batruluhu, there are only 9 places, there aren't 10. So Avru Ma'abara Treininhu. Now one place that we counted as one was really two. Avru Ma'abara is two different places. So it turns out that it's Ayas Migron Michmash Avru Mabra Gava Rama Givashal Madmena Gavim, and those are the 10 places or gave him. Those are the 10 places that he traveled. My Od Hayom Benov LaAmod. What does the pasuk go on to say in Yishayo Perek Yud when it says Od Hayom Benov LaAmod? What's that about? Nov. All of a sudden we're bringing up Nov. Amar Afuna Os Hayom. The day Sancheriv attacked Yerushalayim Nishtayer Me'Avona Shel Nov. There is still some remnant left of the sin of Nov that Shaul HaMelech killed out. Nov Ira Kohanim, because he assumed that David, who was rebelling against him, was being aided by the people of Nov. The people of Nov, of course, were innocent. They had no idea that David was a fugitive. They thought that David was an emissary of the king. They just knew that he was his son-in-law and his greatest general. They didn't know that Shaul was out to kill David, but because of the Lashon Hara of Doeg HaAdomi, they thought, Shaul thought that Nov was harboring David and helping him. So Amri Le Kaldai, the people who look at gaze at stars, said to Sancheriv, that we see in the stars that if you attack right now, you'll be successful. If you don't attack right now, if you delay the attack on Yerushalayim, you will not be successful. A traveling that would normally take 10 days, he made it in one day. When they finally got to Yerushalayim, they propped him up on cushions, so he was able to look from a high point, and he was able to see from a high point above the walls of Yerushalayim, Ad Chazuyo L'Kul Yerushalayim, and he saw the entire city of Yerushalayim, and he was thoroughly unimpressed. He heard about Yerushalayim, stories about Yerushalayim. He gets there and he just sees a bunch of rocks in the small little area of the old city. Didn't impress him. Ki Chazya Izutar Be'enei. When he saw it, it seemed so small in his eyes. Amar Halad Dahi Karted Yerushalayim. This is the city of Yerushalayim. Dalar Gishas Kol Mishir Asai. That I had to get all my whole army, mobilized for this little tiny dinky city. Valakavishas Kol Midinah. I had to conquer all these different medinos just in order to get here to this little place. I've conquered so many cities that were so much stronger than this is smaller and it's weaker from all the large cities that I was able to conquer. So he shook his head as a way of like being mezalzel in Yerushalayim, and he he waved his hand in the direction of the Harabayis, where the Beis HaMikdash was, and the Azar in Yerushalayim, as a way of being mezalza, that this is nothing. What? This is what I came for. So Amri, the people in his army, said to him, Nishti be yado yidna. No, let's attack. We're here anyway. Let's go. Let's take him. Samalu to Mihisu. He says, why would you start fighting a war today? We're tired. You know, let's get some rest. Lamachar, I see they call chad v'chad minaychu, golmo harag minay. Tomorrow, each one of you, if each of my soldiers takes one little tiny stone off of the wall of Yerushalayim, the whole Yerushalayim will crumble. There will be nothing left. That's how many soldiers he had, and that's how small Yerushalayim was. So Miyad, right away, Vayib alaylahu v'yitzim al Hashem v'yach machne yashro meyo shmonim chamisha elef v'yishkim b'boker v'yinikulam b'gar mesim. So he decided to go to sleep that night instead of attack, and that's when the Malach attacked his camp, and 185,000 were killed, and they woke up, and they were all dead, meaning the few that survived woke up, and everybody was dead, and they had no chance anymore to attack Yerushalayim. And that was a fulfillment of what his stargazers told him, that if you attack today, you'll be successful. You wait till tomorrow, and you're not going to be successful. And Amar Rav Papa, Haynu Damri Inshi, yeah, that's what people say. Bas Dina, Batal Dina. That if you delay a din, even just by one night, the whole thing is going to be batal. Sometimes you have to strike while the iron is hot, you have to take advantage while you can, and if you don't, you're not going to be able to do it later, even if it seems like something that's not particularly challenging. Now, once we mentioned Nov Ir HaKohanim, that this was part of the punishment of Nov, so we darshan a little more about Nov Ir HaKohanim back in Shmuel Beis. The Yishbi B'Nov, which is not really, these are not the psukim that really describe Nov Ir HaKohanim, but it mentions Nov when it discusses the brother of Goliath and his attitude toward David HaMelech. Obviously, it was a lifelong vendetta that he had against David HaMelech because David had killed Goliath. His name was Yishbi. The Yishbi Benova Sharbi Yilidei Harfa U'Mishkal Kino Sholosh Meos Mishkal Nechoshes V'Chogur Chadasha V'Yom Lahakol, says David. So Yishbi, Goliath's brother, wanted to kill David, the Navi tells us. But my be Yishbi Benov, why does it mention Nov when it's mentioning Yishbi? You know, in other psukim that describe Yishbi, it calls him Gov, not Nov. Why over here does it say Nov? So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ish Sheba al Iske Nov. The challenge that David had to face with Yishbi was on account of what happened to the city of Nov. This was the Ashkacha, this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu paying David back for what happened to the city of Nov. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu David, Ad Masayya Avon Zeh Tomen B'Yadcha. Hashem says to David, how long is this Avera going to be in your hand? How long are you going to have to... are you going to still have the guilt of this Avera? Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu blamed David for what happened to Nov. Because Al Yadcha, Nerga Nov Yer HaKohanim. It was because of you that Nov Yer HaKohanim was killed out. If you learn Tehillim, Perek Nun Beis, it's an easy one to remember because Perek Nov is where David describes the guilt that he feels of what happened to Nov. You just read the story of Nov in the Navi, and you don't think David should have any guilt. Why would he feel guilty? It was Doeg, it was Shaul, he didn't do anything wrong. But apparently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blames him that because of you, Nov Yer HaKohanim was wiped out. Val Yodcha Nitra Doeg HaDomi, and he also blamed him for what happened to Doeg HaDomi. Doeg HaDomi wouldn't have had what to say Lashon Hara about had you not tried to hide in Nov. So Doeg had an opportunity. He took advantage of that opportunity, and because of that, we learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak, he lost his chelek in Olam Haba, and it's all because of you, David. Val Yodcha Nargu Shaul Shlosh Zbanav, and because of you, David, Shaul and his three sons all got killed in war. Ritzon Chasa, I'll give you two options, Hashem says. Yichle Zaracha, one is that your children will be wiped out, so you'll be spared, but your children will be wiped out. Oti Maser Biad Oyev. Or you will be handed over in the hands of the enemy. Amar Lefanav Ribono Shalom, Muta Ve'Maser Biad Oyev V'lo Yichle Zari. I would so much rather be handed over myself in the hands of the enemy and not have my children wiped out. Given that choice, that's what David took. I'd rather suffer myself and not have my children suffer. That's a parental instinct. A person would rather put themselves in the line of fire in order to protect their children. Yom Echad Nafak Liskar Bazai. One day, David was going to hunt. He was going to trap animals in order to eat. Asa satan va'admi le'ketavya. The satan came and appeared like a deer. Pasuk be'giru v'lamatya. So David shot an arrow at the satan and he missed, meaning at what he thought was a deer, and he missed. So the deer kept on running, and David wanted to chase it because he wanted to get this deer. He was upset that he missed. He wanted to keep on. So the deer kept on schlepping him a little further, a little further, a little further, till he got all the way to the Eretz Plishtim, which was very dangerous territory for David to be hanging out in the Eretz Plishtim. Kedachazi Yishbi Benov, when Yishbi, Goliath's brother, saw David, Amar, Hainu, Haide Katle, the Goliasachi. He says, oh my God, that's my brother's killers right here. So Kafte, he tied him up. Kamte Osiv Shadi Tose Bebadya, and he put him underneath the olive press, where the large beam that presses down on the olive was going on the olives was gonna press down on David, and that was the way he was going to kill him. He was going to crush him in the olive press. Isavale Nisa Machle Aramituse. A miracle happened, and the ground softened under David as the press came down, so it just pushed him down into the ground, but it didn't kill him. Hainu Dhsiv Tarchiv Tzadi Tachtai Vloma Du Karsulai. And that's what the pasuk is referring to in Tehillim when David describes how tachtai, how underneath me I was able to just sink into the ground as opposed to being crushed as you would have expected to be crushed. L'chora, he shouldn't have had this nace, right? David chose to be given over in the hands of the enemy, and that should have been it, right? Meaning that was his choice. So why was it that he was zocha to the nace? So Ben Yoyada explains that even though he was mekabel misa, but he shouldn't have died with a misa that's similar. That's so similar to chenek, because if he dies with something that's similar to chenek, we know that even when Arba Misas batu, din Arba Misas lo batu, we assume that it relates to some avera that he did, that relates to some avera that he did, that relates to that type of Misa. So people are going to say that he must have sinned with Basheva, that he was Boel and Eshes Ish. So Kodesh Baruch Hu couldn't let that happen, that to give the impression that he was Chayef being Boel and Eshes Ish, Kolomer David Chate and Noel Toa, that he was not Boel and Eshes Ish. That's what Ben Yoyada suggests. It's an interesting idea that David HaMelech is blamed for what happened to the city of Nov. Rav Zilberstein, Chashuke Chemed, has a discussion. What if you have, unfortunately you had, in some of the camps in the Holocaust, where if someone had an opportunity to run away, so the Germans said, every Jew that runs away, we're going to kill 10 the next day. So are you allowed to run away when you know that you're putting others in danger by doing so? Or even if they don't say it, Pepe Mele, you know that they're not happy when they take their roll call and they see that someone's going to be missing, so they're going to kill people. So are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to put other people in danger in a way of saving life? This is exactly what David HaMelech was doing. David HaMelech was running to save his life, and so that's what some of the Achronim bring a raya from here, that you're not allowed to do it. David HaMelech bore a tremendous amount of guilt for this, for going to Novir Kohanim. They didn't do anything wrong. Granted, it was Pikuach Nefesh for David, but he was putting their lives in danger. There are other rayas from elsewhere in Shas. He has an interesting discussion about it. Hahu Yoma Apanya Demali Shabbat Ahava. The day that David was in the hands of Goliath's brother happened to have been Erev Shabbos. Avishai ben Tsruya Hava Kochai Freshe Barba Garbi Demaya. So Avishai ben Tsruya was taking a shower, he was preparing for Shabbos, and we find in a number of places Dafka Chayef Reshe was something that people would do on Erev Shabbos. You find a Mesechus Shabbos, a Mesechus Beitza, that Gedolei Olam would take they would wash their hair on Erev Shabbos. Chazinu Kismi Dama, and he saw stains of blood in the water, and it didn't make any sense because he wasn't bleeding. Igada Amri Asi Yona Itrev Kamei. Others say that no, a Yona, a dove came and looked like it was in pain in front of Avishai. So Amar Avishai said, Knes Yisrael Yonim Tila. He took the message. He realized that there was a message over here. He says, Knes Yisrael is compared to Yona. Shenemar Kanfe Yona Nechva Bekesef. So the pasuk says that Kanfe Yona Nechva Bekesef. And the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos that the reason Knes Yisrael is compared to Yona is Ma Yona Knafeha Maginos Aleha. Just like a Yona is protected by its wings, so too Knes Yisrael Mitzvos Maginos Aleim. So too Knes Yisrael, the mitzvahs that we do protect us. The Gemara elsewhere, I think Masechet Beita, tells us that a yonah, when one wing is flapping, the other wing is, when one wing is resting, the other wing is flapping, instead of just resting somewhere. So to Knesset Yisrael, we're always moving, we're always growing, we never stop, we never relax. So Knesset Yisrael is compared to a yonah. So Shema Minai said, David Malka di Yisrael b'tzar Rashari. It must be that the king is in tzar, that's why I'm getting the sign of the yonah. Also the base of Lashchei. So Avishai went to David's house, and sure enough, he wasn't there. Amar Tnan, Ein Rochman al Susov, Ein Yoshan al Kisov, Ein Mishtabrishim b'sharbito. So Avishai says, I have a problem, because the Mishnah tells us that we learned earlier in the Masechta, you're not allowed to ride on the horse of a king, you're not allowed to sit on the throne of a king, and you're not allowed to use the sharbit of the Melech. But what if the Melech is in danger, and I need his horses to get to him, to save him? So Asa Shal b'Midrashi, he went and he asked the Shaila in the base Medrash. Amar Lei b'shasa sakana, shapir dami. And they told him, yeah, b'shasa sakana, it's mutter to do this. So Rachve l'parde, so he got on the pered of David HaMelech to go catch up to him and to try to save him. V'kamva azil v'kavtzalei ara. And he had a kvitzas aderech, and he got to the Eretz Plishtim very, very quickly. It's interesting, the idea that Avishai had a shaila about this. It's pikuach nefesh. Okay, so there's an iser to ride on the horse of a king. Pikuach nefesh, it's docha, kalator kula. So obviously it's going to be mutter. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in the very last tshuva in Chelek Beis of Choshen Mishpat. Rav Moshe has a tshuva to Rav David, where Rav David asked this question, and he has a 6-page tshuva back. You know, it's like there's Stam learning Navi, talking and learning. So you get a 6-page tshuva from Rav Moshe about this topic. Rav Moshe says, of course, Avishai was well aware. Pikuach nefesh is docha, kalator kula. But is that hutra or is it tuchuya? Because Avishai was also aware that there was no way in the natural order of things that he was going to be able to save him. That the only way to be able to save him was through miracles. He says if it's duchuya, so then there's still the Maisa Avera, he's not going to be Zocha Tanisim. But if it's Hutra, then there's no Maisa Avera whatsoever, then he knew he might still be Zocha Tanisim. So that was his Shaila. Was it Hutra? Of course he's allowed to do it for Pikuach Nefesh, but is he going to be Zocha Tanisim to make it happen? So they told him that Hutra, that Pikuach Nefesh is Taka Hutra, and therefore you're able to go. That's how Moshe understood the whole conversation. It's also interesting that he needed a Peret HaMelech. Why couldn't he just take a different horse? So the Aruch Liner suggests, he has a whole Torah over here, that the Yerushalmi says that according to Isi Ben Akavia, you're not allowed to ride on a Preda at all because it's made of Klayim. It's a Susa and a Chamor together. So the Gemara says, "Aye, by David HaMelech, it says, V'rkavtam HaShlomo B'ni ala Preda Asherli, that David HaMelech had one." So the Gemara answers, yeah, the one that David HaMelech had didn't come from a Susa and a Chamor. It was a Bria from Sheshes Yimei Bereshes. That was a combination Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. So it could be that Avishai was makpid on this, that he didn't want to ride on such an animal that was actually Klayim. That's what the Aruch Liner suggests. He only wanted to ride on David's. So Ba'adi dekamasagi chazi la'arpi ime. While Avishai was trying to chase after David, he saw Arpa, Yishbi's mother, meaning Yishbi, who was right now had David in captivity. He saw his mother, Davas Navla. She was doing needlework. Ki chazise, when she saw him, she realized what he was doing. Pasakta lepilcha, she took her pelech, her sharp instrument that she was using, shadde levein, she threw it at him. Savra lemikthle, she was trying to kill him. But then she pretended, when she missed, she pretended that she wasn't trying to kill him. Amri lei, elem, aiti li plach, says, oh, whoops, I dropped my plach. Can you do me a favor? Can you bring it to me? Patke b'resh mocha v'katle, he said, sure. He picked it up and he stabbed her in the head with it and he killed her. Okay, kadchazia yishbi benov, when Yishbi saw him in Nov, Amr hashta avu betrayed. He says, now it's not just me against David. Now I have David and Avishai against me. But suddenly, if I keep them both alive, they're going to kill me. So patke le David la'ela v'dase l'rumche. So he decided to kill David, but he chose an unusual way to do it. He threw David up in the air and he put his sword in the ground, hoping that David would land on his sword and he would be impaled on the sword, and that's how he was going to kill David. Amr nipal alev v'nikta, let him fall on the sword and be killed. Amr Avishai shame. So Avishai said the shame amaforash okme le David ben Shemai la'ara, and David HaMelech was suspended in midair. He never landed. So v'neimalei ihu, why didn't David HaMelech himself say the Shem Hashem to save himself? Ein chavish motzi atzman beis ha'asurin. A person may have the capacity to save other people. He doesn't necessarily have the ability to save himself. The mashal we give is that you can break someone else out of jail. It's very difficult for the imprisoned to break himself out of jail. So amalei mai bayisacha. So Avishai said to David, how did you get here? Why would you come to the Eretz Plishtim? Amalei hacha amalei kutcha brichu. So he told him the whole deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he had to bear the guilt for what happened to Nov, and he had the choice. So I told Hashem that I'd rather myself be be handed over to the Plishtim rather than have my children suffer than Yichle Zaro. So Amalei Apik Soseich. So Avishai said, you made the wrong choice. You have to daven for the other thing. You should daven for the other choice. Barbara Kira Lisbon Va'atul Titztair. It's better for your offspring to be very poor, that they're gonna sell Kira, which means Machlokes Achronim. Some understand the Marshal says that it's they're gonna be wax salesmen, which apparently is not a great profession. And the Yad Ramah says that they're gonna sell the fruits at the top of the dekel tree, which also is after the dekel is already cut and dried, and it's very, very lousy fruits. You're not gonna make a good living. So better that your children should live their entire lives in Tsar, rather than you have to fall in the hands of the enemy. So Amalei, meaning deal with today. Don't worry about what's going to be in a few generations from now. Today you have a mitzvah to try to survive and do your best to live a proper life. You don't worry about what tomorrow is going to bring, which is a fascinating maramakom in that sugya. Meaning there's a whole sugya in halacha. Do we have to worry about, I think it was last year Shabbos Shuvah Drash, I gave the sugya in halacha about whether you have to worry about what's going to be in the future. Does it have to, am I allowed to make halachic sacrifices now? Because if I don't, I'm going to have to make bigger halachic sacrifices in the future. That's the discussion the Poskim have. If a person can get out of jail for one day in order to worship properly, in order to daven with a minyan, should he just pick the next day? You know, pick, it's a Thursday, pick today's mincha? Or should he wait till Yom Kippur? Should he wait till the day that's gonna really matter? A person can only fast one day. He's too shvach to fast 2 days. Should he fast some Gedalia? But then he's not going to be able to fast Yom Kippur. Or do you say, no, I'm not going to put myself in a position. Major machlokas haposkim. So it seems like a maramakom that this was a machlokas, David and Avishai. That David thought, I have to worry about the future. Whereas Avishai said, don't worry about the future. Worry about today. The future will be whatever it will be. So Ve'azol Avishai ben Vahinu Duchsiv Ve'azol Avishai ben Tzruya Amar Avidom Rav Sha'azro B'tfila. So Avishai started to help David to daven that that it should be a different, that the other choice should be his choice, that the children should be wiped out. Amar Avishai Shem Va'achte. So Avishai, this whole conversation was while David was still suspended in midair. So now Avishai says Shem Hashem, and David comes down, but he doesn't come down on the sword. Havakarad v'pasrayu. So now Yishbi was chasing after them. Kimata Kubi, when they got to a place named Kubi, which is somewhere between the Eretz Plishtim and Eretz Yisrael, Amri Kumbei. David and Avishai turned around and they said, why are we running from him? Let's go attack him. You know, we can, we're two, he's one. We can kill him. He's not even on his home turf anymore. Kimata Betray. When they got to a place named Betray, Amri Betray Goryan Katlui La Aryeh. Can two smaller lions kill a big lion? Probably not. Meaning, even though we're two of us, we're going to need to weaken him if we're going to have to kill him. So Amri Le, they said to Yishbi, Zilish Takach Larpi Imeich Bekivra. Oh, have we mentioned that we killed your mother? So Kiatkur Le Shmadi Imeich. As soon as they mentioned the name of his mother, Kachashchele, he became weaker, Vekatle. And then they were able to overpower him, and they were able to kill him. That's what the pasuk says. Because of the great sakana that David had, the Anshei David swore that Lo Seitzei Odi Tanu L'Melchama, he shouldn't come out to fight wars anymore. We're afraid what's going to happen, that the Neri Yisrael is going to be extinguished if David has to face wars. Tanu Rabbanan, once we mentioned that Avishai had Kvitza Sederech, Shlosha Kavtza Lemaretz. There were three people that had Kvitza Sederech. Eliezer, Avram, Yaakov Avinu, and Avishai ben Tzruya. So Avishai ben Tzruya had Amarim. We just told the whole fascinating story of Avishai ben Tzruya. Eliezer, Avram, Dichsiv, Va'avoy, Yom Ela'ayin. When he went to bring Rivka to Yitzchak, it says Hayom, which is L'chora extra in the Pasuk, because they knew that it was that day that they went L'meimra, the Hu Yom Enafuk. So that's coming to teach us that on that day that he left Eretz Yisrael, he got to Aram Na'arayim with Kfitzas Aderech. Yaakov Avinu, where do we find that Yaakov Avinu also had Kvitza Sederech Tichsiv, because the pasuk says Vayetzi Yaakov in Be'er Sheva Vayela Charana. So he already got to Charan and Chutzlar to Ksiv Vayivka B'makom Vayelan Sham Kiva Shemesh, that he got to Beis El, which is Har Moria in Yerushalayim. How could that be? He was already in Chutzlar. So you have to say that he got first to Charan, and Kimata L'Charan Amar, when he got to Charan, he said, "Ooh, Efshar Avarti Al Makom Shespalu Ba'Avosai, is it possible I can pass by the place where my forefathers davened Vanilo is Palaltibo, and I didn't daven there." By the Mahadr, so he wanted to go back to Basel. Kivin to hear B'dayt the Mahadr, when he thought, when he had the idea to return, he had a kfitzas aderech miyad vayivka b'makom, and right away he found himself back in Basel. So that's why vayivka b'makom shows that Yaakov didn't actually go; he just happened upon the place. He couldn't have traveled all that way. Davar acher ein pegia el tefila. Another explanation of what the lashon of vayivka is that ein pegia el tefila. That it means that Yaakov Avinu davened over there. Shneem revat al tespal b'adam zeh v'altisa b'adam rino tefila v'al tifkabi, that we find in a few places. It's not only in the Gemara elsewhere, it quotes other psukim to show that pegiya is tefillah. The Gemara in Tainus, Gemara in Brachos, you have this expression elsewhere, that ain't pegiya tefillah, but over here we're quoting the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Zayin. I didn't get to see why, if anyone discusses, why they quote different psukim in different places about that the lashon of pegiya is tefillah, but if I'm not mistaken, they quote other psukim elsewhere. Okay, Vayolin Shom Kiva Hashemesh. So it says about Yaakov Vinu that he slept over there because so after he davened, he wanted to go back to Charan. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, such a tzaddik comes to my inn, you know, he comes to my house, I'm gonna let him go without sleeping over? No, miyad v'hashemesh. So right away the sun set, which was not really the time the sun was supposed to set. So it's because it doesn't say ve'yava hashemesh, which is just the way you would tell a story. It says ki v'hashemesh, which sounds like it's a reason, that the only reason he decided to sleep over there was because Vahashemesh, which was an unexpected event. Vahainu d'chsiv, and that's why it says about Yaakov Vinu, Vayizrach lo Hashemesh. What does that mean, Vayizrach lo Hashemesh? V'chi lo bilvad zarcha? The sun shone just for him? V'lo l'kalom kulo zarcha? The sun shines for the entire world. Ela amar b'yitzchak shemesh sheba ba'avuro, zarcha ba'avuro. The same shemesh that set for him early so that he could sleep over in Beisel is the same shemesh that rose for him in order to be merapi him after the battle with the angel of Esav. Okay, uminolan de kol hazari de David. Going back to the story where David HaMelech said that he would rather, ultimately, once Avishai convinced him, he would rather his children be wiped out rather than he be given over to the hands of the enemy. Where do we find that his children were tackle wiped out? Tichsiv, because the Melachim Beis, after Achazio Melech Yehuda died, it says, Vatalia Eim Achazio Rasa Kimes Binah Vatakam V'Ta'abed Eskol Zera Mamlacha, that she saw that her son died and she got up and they were all destroyed. All of the Zera Beis David were wiped out. So, frankly, Gemara, is that true? Vayishtayir LeYoash. Yoash Ben Achazi was still alive because he hid from Atalia as she wiped out everyone else. Pasuk says, Vatikach Yoshava Basamelch Yoram Achos Achazio as Yoash Ben Achazio Vatikim Rosam Tokh Ben Emel. Pasuk says that they hid Yoash. So Yoash managed to escape, and then Yoash became king over the Jewish people. So Hasam Nami Ishtayir of Yasser. Yeah, Yoash was able to survive because even when Novir Kohanim was killed out, it wasn't all of the Kohanim. There was one person who survived, and that was Avyasar. That there was one child who survived, his name was Avyasar. Had it not been for Avyasar surviving the city of Nov, no one would have survived in David's family either. The whole Malchus based David would have been over. But now because one person survived the city of Nov, the Mida Kenegan Mida, one person was able to survive in David's family. You wonder if Avishai's answer would have been different had that not been the case. Meaning, is that worth wiping out the entire Malchus Beis David? When Sancheriv attacked Yerushalayim, he came with 45,000 princes, Yoshim B'Kronos Shalzav, in golden wagons, V'imam Shiglonos V'Zonos, and they had these Zonos with them, V'Shvonim Elef Kiborim Levushe Shirion Klipa. They were wearing this fancy attire, the armor that they wear, U'B'Shishim Elef Ha'chuzei Cherev Ratzim Lefanav, and he had 60,000 people who were holding swords running in front of them, V'Ashar, and the rest of the army that he had with him were Parashim, were all riding on horses, V'Chein Bo'u Al Avram, and the same is the amount of people that attacked Avram Avinu in the Melchama with the four kings, V'chein Asidin Lavo Gog U'Magog. And in Gog U'Magog, it's also going to be such an impressive legion of troops. B'masnisa Tana, Orech Machanehu, the length of the camp of Sancheriv was Arba Meos Parsi, 400 Parsos, Roch of Tzavar Susav, just the width of the necks of his horses when they lined up one next to each other, Arbaim Parsi was 40 Parsi. Sach Machanehu, the number of people in his Machana is just impossible to fathom, was Masayim Vishishim Ribo Alafim. It was 260, 10,000 times 1,000. So that it comes out to 2,600,000,000 people. Chasr chad, minus one. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out what chasr chad means. But the Ben Yoyada over here says it doesn't mean that this was the number of people. Meant this is how strong they were. They were as strong as over 2 billion people. But obviously, there weren't 2 billion people. Baya, baya, chasr chad riboya. Does chasr chad mean that missing one ribo, 1/10,000? Or chasr chad alpha, or missing 1,000? Or chasr meyer, or missing 100? Or chasr chad, or literally missing one? Teku. So the Gemara says, we don't know the answer to that question. There's got to be some nafkamina over here, because it's not the derech of the Gemara to bring such sveikos that have no nafkamina la'alacha. So the Be'er Sheva points out. So the Pesach Einayim says nafkamina is when it says in the Shtar, Ruvain is chayiv to Shimon, kach v'kach ribo, kach v'kach alafim, kach v'kach meos, kach v'kach asaros, chaser chad. So what is the chasr chad going on? The last thing it said, the first thing it said, can it be going on something in between? Okay, that's the nafkamina. Tanur rishonim avru b'schi shenemar the chalav b'yuda shatav avar, just describing the sheer numbers of the troops. The first group went through and they had to swim through the river because the river was so deep. But then they started drinking from the water of the river, and there were so many of them that emtziim the next group of rubakoma. They were able to walk through and neck high. Their heads were above water. Shenemar at savar yagia, and they started drinking from the water, and therefore achronim helu afar b'raglayim. By the time the last ones came through, the whole river had dried up from all the drinking. They had to bring water from elsewhere in order to drink. So you see that it was much fewer people. It was only 185,000 people that the Malach killed. It was 185,000 leaders of the troops. The fattest of them, meaning the ones who were the most chashuv of them. Amar Avina Daikonami, and it's meduyik this way as well. D'chsiv v'yishlach Hashem Malach v'yichad kol gibor chayil v'nogid v'sar b'machaneh, that the Malach went to kill out the officers. V'yavu beis alukav u'mitziyeh meyav shami pilu b'charev. So you see that he only killed the gibor chayil nogid v'sar. So shema mina, that's a raya that taka there were more people, but the Malach was when the describes what the Malach did, it was only the sarim amongst them. So b'mehikam, how did the Malach kill them? Different possibilities. Rabbi Elazar Omer, biyad hikam, with a hand. Shenemar v'yayisol say yada gedola. What is ha yada gedola? Hayad shasid lipar misancheriv. It's the hand that one day is going to pay back sancheriv. That's what they saw in Mitzrayim. Rabbi Shua Omer, be'etzpa hikam. How do I know it was be'etzpa? Shenemar v'yomra chartum melparo etzpa elokim hi. What's he? This is the etzpa elokim. He etzpa shasid lipar misancheriv. The same etzpa that's going to wipe out sancheriv. Rabbi Elazar Moshe Biyosek Gliyli Omer, Amla Kodesh Baruch Hu Gavriel, Megalchan Natusha, Rabbi Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Gavriel, to the Malach Gavriel, is your sword sharpened? Amla Fan of Ribon Shalom, Natusha of Amedes Mishesh Simei Breshes, it was born sharpened. Shenemer Mbnei Charvos Nadadu, from Shesh Simei Breshes, I'm ready for this. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Omer, Osa Perek Zman Bishal Peros Hayah, this was the time of the ripening of the fruits. Amla Kodesh Baruch Hu Gavriel, Kishata Yotze Levashal Peros, when you go to do good for the world, and you go to ripen the fruits, Haskek Lehem, by the way, just kill out this entire camp of Sancheiriv, if you don't mind. Shnerim midei over yikach eschem ki baboker baboker yavur bayom b'layla vayarag zva'a chavin shmua, that Gavriel didn't go out just to kill them. He had another job. He was going out to do something positive as well. So Amar Rav Papa, Einu Damri Inshi, agavurchach lebal dvava chishtama. While you're going on the way, you could frighten the enemy as well. So Gavriel killed out the enemy while he was also going to ripen the fruits. V'yesham b'chotma nashaf behen v'mesu. Some say that he blew into their nostrils and they died. Shnemer v'gam nashav v'hem v'yivashu. Rabbi Yirm Barabba Amar kapayim sipik lehem v'mesu, that he clapped his hands together with their heads in between his hands, and that's what the Malach did to kill them. Shnemer v'gam ani akekapay el kapay v'ani chosi chamasi. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar aznayim gilu lehem. He opened up their ears v'shamu shira mipi chayos, and they were able to hear the shira that the chayos hakodesh were singing, and v'mesu, they died from that kedusha. Shnemer v'mus nafzu gayim. So it says Gemara, how many survivors were there? Rav Amar Asara, Shnemer Sharet Yavru Mispar Yu V'Nar Yichtavim. That how many left? The amount that a Na'ar is able to write down. So children that are very young are not able to write anything. Kamenar Yach Lichtov Asara. A Na'ar is able to write down the number 10. Rashi explains, not really the number 10. He's able to write down the letter Yud. How is a Na'ar able to write the letter Yud? He drops a drop of ink on the the paper, and boom, that's the letter Yud. So that's what it, that's the number. The number is 10. It's a big discussion. Tosfos Maseches Menachos, the Gemara Menachos says that a kutzo shel Yud is ma'akev. So there's a question, what's the kutzo shel Yud? It sounds like something beyond the Iker Tzura of the Yud. This Rashi sounds like the Iker Tzura of the Yud is no Tzura at all. It's just a drop. So kutzo shel Yud might just mean the right leg of the Yud. Whereas Tosfos says, no, the Tzura shel Yud, the basic Tzura of the Yud already has a right leg. Kutzo shel Yud must be the crown in the upper left corner of the Yud. Shmuel Amar Tisha, Shenemar V'Nishma Olos Kenokiv Zayi Shnayim Shosha Gagarim Barosh Amir Arba'a V'Chamisha B'Si'ifeha. Four and five is nine. That's how many survivors there were. Rabbi Shob Ben Levi Amar Arba'a Asar 12. Shenemar Shnayim Shosha Arba'a V'Chamisha. It says 2, 3, 4, 5. Add that and it's 12. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chamisha. There were five survivors. Sancher V'Shnei Bonav Nuchanetzer Nuvuzradon. Nuvuzradon Gemara. How do I know Nuvuzradon survived? That was a Kabbal V'Chamad. Nebuchadnezzar dechsev revei deriviya adami lebar eloyin, that when Nebuchadnezzar saw, when he threw Hanani, Mishael, Azariah in the Kipshon Eish, he said, I see the three guys I threw into the Kipshon all tied up, they're not tied up anymore, and I see a malach that's with them, I see a fourth one. How did he know what a malach looked like? V'ilav dechazeh mina haviyada, he must have been there when the malach came and wiped out the camp. Sancher v'shnei banav dechsev v'yiyu mishtach v'beis nisro chalukav v'adar melech v'sharetz banav hiku b'cherev. The Gemara is going to explain that his children killed him, so he didn't die from the malach. He must have not died from the malach if he was still alive for his children to kill him, and his children must have not died from the malach if they were still alive to kill him afterwards. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rabbi Avohu, the aftermath of that whole episode with the malach killing some people.